Our next guest is an investigative journalist. She has lobbied Congress for over a decade and is also a scientist. And she kind of combined all those to come up with her next project, which is Boobs, The War on Women's Breasts. I mean, very provocative title. Obviously, men and women are all very concerned about the subject. Boobsdoc.com, boobsdoc.com is the website. Very compelling video from what I've seen. I watched a little bit of it this morning. I ran out of time. Extremely compelling, extremely excited to talk about kind of the little-known truths about boobs. Megan Smith, welcome to the Power Hour.
Thank you, Daniel. I appreciate it. Good to be here.
Absolutely. Why don't you just, you know, you've never been on before. Just, I gave a very brief introduction. Tell us a little bit more about yourself. Who is Megan Smith?
So, I've got a kind of rolled everything into everything I've done in the past life. I've had, I won't tell you how long that's been, but, and decided after my husband passed of cancer 11 years ago and I lost three friends to breast cancer in 3 years, I wanted to do something to help people. And I had also had late Lyme disease, which I cured myself of miraculously. So I kind of started to looking into non-conventional medical devices and you know, just therapeutics. So anyway, that said, I have a master's in science. I lobbied Congress for 12 years, so I kind of understand some of the politics in medicine. And I'm an investigative journalist. And I was making a film started 4 years ago on alternative cancer therapies in honor of my husband. Excuse me. And when I saw that 10 minutes of that film was about the horrors of mammography and what we could be doing instead, I thought, you know what, I'm going to put that film on hold and make a short documentary about boobs. And so I made a 30-minute short doc, submitted it to film festivals. A distributor out in L.A., Cinema Libre Studios, saw it and said, we'd like to sign you make it into a feature. So then I made a 90-minute feature, which is what we're talking about today.
You mentioned the word or the phrase politics of medicine. And to the average American, what do you mean politics of medicine? I thought medicine was about science and about truth and about, you know, black and white. Explain a little bit politics of science. What does that mean? Or medicine. Politics.
Yeah,
medicine.
I wish it was. I mean, if you look at what's going on with COVID right now and trying to get this vaccine out and everything going on, you can kind of see some of the politics that's going on the Hill. There's unfortunately a revolving door between FDA and some of the, you know, HHS and some of the other acronyms in the medical world in DC. And what that means is people work in the government, then the next job they have is they're working at a big pharmaceutical company or something, and then they go back into government. And it's really a conflict of interest. And I wish they would stop that, because unfortunately, you've got people, it was special interests that aren't looking just at people's health, but they've got, you know, how much money can I make when I'm done with this job? And that unfortunately has colored the way that they do things in medicine. And the whole thing's kind of gotten out of control. I think people are starting to understand that, though, when they see their loved ones die of chemotherapy and say, you know, there's got to be a better way. So, and I'll tell you all about mammography also, but the politics of mammography run deep as well.
Well, when you talk about breasts, I mean, we see breast cancer awareness. We see pink ribbons every month for a year, really throughout the year. We see them all over. We see big foundations are promoting this. They're lining up women to go to mammograms. We're told early detection. This is important. Get your mammogram. I mean, it's become, you know, as standard as mother's milk almost. This video, at least the part I watched, is totally breaking this paradigm and flipping that reality on its head. I mean, it's obvious why you made the video. What was the first thing that kind of jumped at you, like, oh my gosh, I need to get this on, I need to get this out?
I think it was last time I got a mammogram, sitting there getting my breast squished and getting radiation, you know, aimed at it. And I'm like, what am I doing? This hurts like hell. And the radiation I knew probably wasn't real good. And it was when Dr. Ben Johnson, I interviewed him. He's now the late Ben Johnson. It was his heart. He told me, you know, the amount of in a mammogram is actually a lot more than women think and what doctors are telling them. And it's more like at least a thousand times of a chest x-ray in one mammogram instead of a mammogram series. And I was like, what? So I corroborated everything that he told me in that interview. And we just went through all the myths that they're throwing around on websites. And if you want me to expand on anything, I can. Early detection, low radiation, compression doesn't spread cancer.
Well, let's go back to, you know, from I obviously have never gotten a mammogram as a man. Tell our audience for, you know, most men, I didn't really quite understand what a mammogram exactly entailed and the process. Please explain, when you go get a mammogram, what happens?
So they put your breast in between two plastic paddles and squish it down as much as they can because it's that way the radiation can get through the fibroglandular tissue in the breast, also known as dense breast tissue. And it's a way that they calculate how much radiation you need, although I'm not sure they do a real good job at that. And then, you know, it hurts. It hurts bad, especially if you have dense breasts. And if they don't get the picture right, they radiate you again. And they generally don't tell you they're doing that, but they're pushing the button again. And it's just, it's a heck of a lot more. If you have large breasts or you have dense breasts, they're shooting you full of more radiation than you even know. The 3D mammograms that are out there right now, you have to ask your provider or whoever you're going to, you say, do you guys have the software? Because if they don't have a software, they're actually shooting you twice for a 3D picture and a 2D, which is what the normal mammogram is right now. You're getting twice the amount of radiation if they don't have that software. And they're not telling us that. The doctors, if I can just go a little bit about radiation, because that's the thing that really irked me. The doctors are told to tell their patients, and I don't think they know better, which is really, and I kind of find sad and startling. When they tell a patient, when you get a mammogram, you're getting the same amount of radiation as flying over the U.S. What they're talking about there is scattered radiation to all across all radiosensitive organs in the body. They are not talking about the absorbed dose that goes into the breast, and that is a heck of a lot more. It can be up to 20 times more, depending on the situation. And some of these, actually, I'm finding that some of the mammogram machines aren't calibrated correctly, and FDA is supposed to be looking at those machines every year. I don't know what's going on there, but I'm going to be calling FDA to find out why. I just recently found that out. So the radiation amount is a lot more.
Mm-hmm. So basically, you go in, they grab your breast, I'm sure quite aggressively, slam it between two pieces of, I mean, it's almost like a breast sandwich, and they squeeze down as hard as they about can, and then they go behind a lead screen, and they, oh, just sit there, it's fine, don't worry, just relax, and then they press the button two or three times, and God knows how much radiation you're getting. That's basically what's going on.
Right, and radiologists, I found out, the three radiologists I've talked to don't understand the difference between scattered and absorbed. It's radiation physicists.
Why?
I don't know how this has happened, and I'm sure it's not true of all radiologists, but the ones I talked to, one of them went running to the radiation physicist and said, can you explain what's going on here? She was shocked, and I was like, yeah, you guys are telling your patients the wrong information. Well, that's the way they keep using these mammogram machines. They've been doing it for 50 years, and women are like, oh, it's low dose. No, eventually there's speculation in the literature that says, no, you can get induced breast cancer from the radiation. You have to know that, okay? They really shouldn't be using the mammogram. They should be using the mammogram for diagnostic instead of screening purposes. They've got it all flipped around. They should be using the ultrasound, which is just about as good, especially for dense breasts. They should use that for screening, and then if they find a lump, then they can use the mammogram for diagnostic purposes. But insurance won't let them do that. Insurance makes them get you have to get a mammogram before you get an ultrasound or they won't pay for the ultrasound. So they rope us in that way, and they've led us down this path. Congress, I've talked to Congress, and they don't know this is going on either. So
what is recommended typically? So a woman, when she gets 25, she should start having a mammogram, or 30? Or what is typically recommended for a normal, healthy woman?
Okay, so good question. About, let's see, it was 11 years ago, up to 11 years ago, when I was a young tot, they said get your baseline mammogram at 35, which is pretty young, first of all, and your more young breasts are more susceptible to induced radiation, breast cancer. You shouldn't be getting it that young. And to get it baseline at 35 and starting at 40, you get it every year. That was the rule of thumb when I was, you know, when I was that age. Now, because of, thank God, this organization called the Nordic Cochrane Center started to looked at all the studies that had been done to date, and they discovered, it was already kind of coming out, but they discovered that, oh, wait a minute, we're way overdosing a cancer called DCIS, ductal carcinoma in situ. It's not a carcinoma, unless it's invasive. It's not a carcinoma, it's a precancer. In situ means in place. It's in the ducts of the cell. This represents 25 to 30% of all breast cancers, which is a boatload of the breast cancers. And most of those women don't have invasive DCIS, but they're in a panic because they see the word carcinoma and they run and get a mastectomy and sometimes radiation. And it's a precancer. And when I dug further, I found out that a lot of those cancers might be induced by the mammogram itself from trauma, from the squishing, and also the radiation, because it's those cells in the ducts of the breast, the epithelial cells, are most susceptible to radiation-induced cancer. So we've got this whole thing so backwards. And so when they found out DCIS was being way overdiagnosed and treated, they said, okay, stop everything. We're gonna change our recommendations. American Cancer Society, the radiologist, of course, kept saying, no, start at 40. But somebody else was saying start at 50. I think Canada, I can't remember who. And then American Cancer Society came right in the middle and said start at 45. And then do it every other year. And then if you want to do it every year, you have that prerogative. You know, it's kind of a complicated schedule. But just know that they've pushed it off now because they also discovered that young breasts are more susceptible to radiation-induced cancers. And there was an age group between 40 and 50 that the mammogram wasn't really that helpful for at all. It was a wash. Women were getting more problems in that age group than were getting help by the mammogram. So
You've said a lot so far. Let me summarize at least a couple of things I think are super important. Sure. Correct me where I'm wrong. I don't want to wash over the term. You've said it several times now. Induced cancer. When you say induced cancer, you mean getting the mammograms every year or whatever is actually giving the woman cancer. That's what you mean by that.
It can. There's no way to absolutely know this, but this is like a, you know, statistics and a kind of common sense. Because the breast tissue, the fibroglandular, is more susceptible to DNA damage from the radiation, right? So it can induce a breast cancer if you get enough mammograms. And one of my friends who had 40 mammograms finally got DCIS.
Wow.
She finally got DCIS and she had to have a mastectomy. Then it showed up in her other breast and she had a mastectomy there. And now the literature is saying, wait a minute, I think we're over-treating these women. And she's in my film and she says, I'm kind of regretting I got the mastectomies.
Yeah.
Because it may never go.
How do you come up with the even thought that it's induced cancer? You take the statistics of people who have no mammograms and people who do, or how do you figure that out?
Well, it really kind of started with how much radiation can we be giving people before they get cancer, and that was an extrapolation using the atomic bomb victims. They figured out how much radiation was coming out of there. It's very complicated. I don't understand it. And then they figured out how much cancer was being induced from that radiation. They went kind of worked backwards to how much can we be pumping into a woman's breast before she's most likely going to get cancer. And it turns out they didn't calculate it very well. Also, the type of I'm getting into nuances of science, but any doctors listening out there, they're actually using low energy radiation in mammograms. That's exactly the wrong type to use. It turns out that those will induce cancer faster than high energy radiation. So all these years, I don't know how they didn't know this, they've been using the wrong type of radiation. So, I mean, I just kept finding one thing after another. The more literature I searched the literature for 2 years. You know, this was not easy. Most doctors don't have the time to do this. So I'm hoping
get a mammogram again? Would you ever get a mammogram?
No, absolutely not. Not what after what I found. I just won't. No. What I am saying in my film, at the end of the film, the last act talks about what we could be doing instead, and that is ultrasound. It's another test of anatomy, like MRI or a mammogram, an ultrasound, no radiation, in conjunction with, thermography. Thermography is a test of physiology, and what it does, thermography is great, and they looked at it briefly, but messed up in a big study back in the 70s. They messed it up, so they threw it out of the study. But what it does is it senses heat in the breast, and that heat, that thermal, is coming out from inflammation. Inflammation can lead to cancer. So if you pick the inflammation up before it becomes a hard cyst or hard, tumor, solid tumor, you're way ahead of the game. Then you can change your lifestyle. Is it easy? No, but I've done it because I had my thermography was showing some problems. I changed my lifestyle. A year later, my thermogram looks a lot better. That's also in the film.
So I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Thermography can be looked at as a test of prevention. And by the time you catch it in a mammogram, you've had that cancer from anywhere from 2 to 10 years, depending on if it's a slow growing or a fast growing tumor. Okay. You want to catch it before it's that far along. So it's not really early detection. It's an early detection of a stage 1 or stage 2 tumor, but you want to get it before it's a tumor.
I definitely want to get, because in the movie you talk about myths, and to me that is so powerful. You put up a statement that's kind of accepted across the world, certainly in America, and then you go about exploding it. I definitely want to get into those myths. Before I get into that, because we're coming up on a break, we'll probably do it in the second half. I want to ask you just about, I am always fascinated. I mean, I can't tell you how many people in so many genres and so many specific type of things medically that we accept, and especially in American culture, they end up being medically wrong. They end up being medically not even close. They end up being medically counter beneficial. As you went and dug into this, did you get resistance back? Did people, were they leaping at the chance to help you? Were they calling you a kook? What went on?
No, most of the people I talked to in my film are non-conventional doctors. They're all medical doctors, I made sure, except for one of the women who was running the thermograms. But the American Cancer Society, Otis Brawley, he was the chief medical director of American Cancer. He was the one who said, they're suboptimal tests and we need a better test. And I said, would you please interview for my film? That is so important. And so he gave me 45 minutes. And he's laced all through my film, and he told it like it is. And God bless him for doing that, because when you hear it coming from the American Cancer Society, we've got troubles.
Yeah, you'd think. Did you talk to anybody on the other side that was, mammogram every year, that's the way to go? Did you talk to anybody like that? What was their reaction?
Yeah. Yes, I had one conventional doctor. She was a breast cancer surgeon, and she had the incorrect information I was trying to show to the audience. I didn't know what she was going to say, because I know she was pro-thermogram, but she said, but they don't work. They've been proven not to work, which is not correct. The test was not run correctly. So we need to restudy that. But, yeah, she gave the other side of it. She gave me the plane metaphor, the airplane metaphor flying across the U.S., And, I said that was a typical conventional, they don't know better. They're told by the associations, and they learn this in med schools. and they don't have time to research it, and they trust their associations. And that's where it gets us. This is, it's just disinformation coming out of the big, you know, whoever's doing it, you know, wherever it starts. And it just keeps perpetuating itself, and I'm trying to put an end to it.
This is so similar to this is so similar to the vaccine discussion, in the sense that the first doctor that I find that is pro-vaccine, or the next doctor that I find that's pro-vaccine that actually knows what's in the that's in the ingredients, will be the first one I find. Because every doctor that I've talked to that's so pro-vaccine, they can't even tell you what's in the vaccine. Everyone I've ever talked to. And this sounds kind of similar, in the sense that you're talking to these more traditional Western medicine people, and they're like, oh yeah, it does this. No, it doesn't. Well, it does it. No, it doesn't. Well, no, it doesn't. And they just... No, you go ahead. You.
Well, big medicine is really good at putting out a soundbite. The media picks up on it. God bless them. They're not scientists. They don't do their research. They just, you know, big medicine says it's right. Well, it must be right. So, you know, the whole movement of the vaccines is pro-safe vaccines. It is not anti-vaccines. The anti-vaccine thing, those are, you know, people on the peripheral who say don't do any vaccines. And that's not the people that are, you know, leading that fight are really pro-safe vaccines. But Big Pharma, you know, wanted to protect all that money. It's one of their hugest, you know, biggest money makers, and they put out, these are anti-vaxxers. Oh, they're going to kill our children, you know. And doctors don't take the time to look at the terrible things that are in vaccines. And I'm telling you, it ain't good, but I don't want to get off on a tangent.
Yeah, no, I didn't want to go there. I'm just comparing. It's kind of like the same ignorance. I don't know. There's the music. Megan, really interesting discussion. On the other side, myths about mammograms, myths about breasts and breast cancer. We're going to attack some of those. Your film, Boobs, The War on Women's Breasts, boobsdoc.com, boobsdoc.com. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Power Hour.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
What in the world is this crazy Willard water?
It's a proprietary solution, and it's a water additive that was invented by my grandfather, Dr. John Willard, and hence the name Willard Water. Boosts a number of different things. We see most prominently that it's increasing the absorption, utilization, and storage of nutrients in the cells. So, for example, if people were drinking, we see a big boost in B vitamin absorption utilization. If you see it in plants, we see a big boost in their ability to absorb and retain fertilizers or nutrients in the soil. So we see with things like microbes. If you used a microbe on soil, for example, to replenish the soil, and you sprayed our Willard water on it, go through that replenishing cycle much faster.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at theparamall.com. That's theparamall.com.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
If you eat New Mana food on a semi-regular basis, you're probably getting better quality food and healthier for your body than you're eating now.
Your products are GMO-free. There's no added MSG and no chemical preservatives or high fructose corn syrup. And you also have gluten-free products as well.
We have a great variety of very high-quality products.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now and buy from the good guys at theparamall.com. That's theparamall.com.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
If you are just now joining us, we're talking about boobs. Yes, boobs. Megan Smith, the writer-producer of the new movie, Boobs, The War on Women's Breasts. Very fascinating. Before we get back to her, I'd like to remind you of the specials we have over at The Power Mall, thepowermall.com. Fantastic interview with Dr. Group yesterday. I highly recommend everybody go back, and not only just for medically going over COVID, going over wellness, thoughtfulness, mindfulness, what you can do, how you can stay strong, especially with, you know, what we're dealing with. We really got to be strong here, ladies and gentlemen. You got to have, you know, yourself screwed on tight here because we're being attacked on every angle. We need to be ready, and you need to be healthy. We want you happy, we want you healthy, we want you successful, and we want you free as God intends you to be. And all of these things are under attack, and all of these things can be overcome with your choices. And we provide some of those here at the Power Mall. Quercetin, the new quercetin and zinc combination, he explained that, how important that is, especially allergies, a variety of things, how the quercetin works with the zinc, fascinating. The Strauss products, the Heart Drops. The Heart Drops are the most profound product we've ever sold in the Power Mall for 20 years. Absolutely changed people's lives. We have the prostate formula, the kidney support, the cardio support. We have a last chance sale on the OptiVita Silver Liquid. We have the Power Silver on sale. We have the Ancient Magnesium Lotion and many other things over at the Power Mall. We thank you for your support. And you're welcome for what we do. It's a symbiotic relationship, as Lowell said last hour. Great interview with Lowell. Thepowermall.com, thepowermall.com, 877-817-9829. There you go. Let's get back to Megan. Megan and I have been talking about her movie, Boobs, The War on Women's Breasts. And the website to go to is boobsdoc, boobs plural, boobsdoc.com. I've said boobs more this interview than I think I've said my whole career on the radio. I think I'm taking a creative license to be able to say, you've given me license to say boobs, Megan. And it's very good.
There you
anyway,
go.
we're talking about mammograms and traditionally how breast cancer is identified and monitored in America and the flaws with it. It's fascinating. I want to talk now specifically what your video talks a lot, your movie talks a lot about is these myths. I love it how it presents myths. So let's just name, however you want to do it, what are the myths of breast cancer and what is the truth about it? Just wherever you want to go.
So I came up with the concept of myths, using myths, because in conventional medicine, a lot of the websites, associations, they always say, this is a myth. And they'll you know, go down the tick, 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 myth one, myth two. I'm like, well, actually, no, that's not, that's the myth, what you're saying. So, so early detection, as I mentioned, mammograms are not early detection, truly, because you've had that tumor from anywhere between 2 and 10 years, depending if it's a slow versus a fast-growing tumor. Most tumors are slow-growing, okay? If the fast ones are estrogen-driven. So anyway,
okay,
it's not
so
early detection.
Pause there. Pause right there, Megan, for a second. I think this is one of the key things. I think, you know, I'm a man. I've never had a mammogram. But as I'm listening, this is the key sales pitch, if you will, for lack of a better word, that are said to women to get them to get a mammogram. Hey, you have to have early detection. It will help you. And what you are saying is a mammogram does not show early detection at all. In fact, it catches tumors when they're actually when they're quite progressed. Is that what you're saying?
Right. It's the cancer has encapsulated. Okay, and those solid tumors, a solid tumor, those things are really hard to break down. Conventional has a problem breaking down those solid tumors. They can treat blood cancers pretty well, but those aren't solid tumors. The solid ones in the organs are hard to treat. And so you don't want it to get to that stage one or two where it's already encapsulated. You want to catch it while it's still inflammation and there's cancer cells forming, right? You want to be able to reverse your lifestyle, and that's what thermography picks up. That's why I'm such a proponent of thermography now. And ultrasound is a better tool for dense breast tissue, which is also a huge problem.
I don't understand. So certain breasts, some are dense and some are not. I mean, breasts look like breasts. Explain that.
Right. Well, they don't on a mammogram. If you look at a mammogram, you'll see black tissue, and then you'll see white tissue. The white tissue is the fibroglandular, also known as dense breast tissue. That, unfortunately, cancer shows up in a mammogram as white also. So if you have fibroglandular and the tumor in the same place, you won't see the tumor, right? So a lot of us get asked back because they say, we think we see a tumor. We're not sure. We need to radiate your breast again. And you're like, what? I had that happen. I think about every woman I talk to has had it happen. 90% of us have some degree of dense breast tissue. 10% has all fatty, what they consider all fatty. Mammograms fine for those people. But I've never met one. Every woman I talk to says, yeah, I've been told I have dense breast tissue. And I said, do you know what that means? No. It means it can hide the cancer. It means mammogram's not the best tool for you, especially if you're in the upper categories. You should be getting an ultrasound instead. But again, the way that the insurance schedule is written, you have to get a mammogram first. That's the standard of care.
What does generally, if I wanted an ultrasound on my breasts, and I didn't have insurance or whatever, I said, no, I want an ultrasound. That's what I want. What would that cost me typically?
I'm going to say $75 to $150, but I'm not sure how accurate that is. It depends on where you go, the facility. If you can find a diagnostic center, it's a lot cheaper. But, you know, don't hold me to those figures, but I think I've heard that it's around that figure.
So it's not crazy. It's not like it's crazy expensive.
No. It's not crazy. Unless you go to a hospital, then they're going to have huge overhead, and then you could have a lot.
But it's just, it's not on the insurance schedule. They're going to push you the other way. They're going to, you know, nothing to see here. Come over this way, basically.
No, they're going to say you have to have a mammogram first. And if you're not diagnosed with heterogeneous or extremely dense breast tissue, they're probably not going to give you an ultrasound prescription. And women in those categories, it's really important to get an ultrasound, because I've heard so many horror stories of cancers being missed. And then 2 months after a mammogram, even American Cancer Society said this, they're diagnosed with cancer because they had dense breast tissue and they didn't get an ultrasound. And these doctors, the radiologists know this is going on, but the gynecologist, which is usually, or the GP who's usually writing the script, doesn't understand. I don't know why, but they don't understand this problem with dense breast tissue, and they sure as heck should. But the radiologists aren't helping.
You said you don't know why. I mean, that's kind of the $64,000 question there. I mean, that seems almost inexcusable.
It does seem. This is why I sound so excited right now. I'm pretty angry about this whole situation, because I've had a number of mammograms, and you can't undo radiation. Once you have radiation, it stays. The damage stays in your body. It's cumulative, so you can't undo it. And the medical literature is now really pointing to, oops, maybe we're using diagnostic radiation way too much. They're finally getting it, because kids are getting brain cancer because they fall down and hurt their, bump their head, and they give them a CAT scan of the head, and then they get, brain cancer. They get head and neck cancers on the rise. I don't know. Is it dental x-rays? Who knows what's contributing to it, but the medical literature is starting to go, we need to rethink this, because there's too many cancers out there.
Dental x-ray, that's interesting. You mentioned thermography over and over again. You're pretty adamant about this. Explain a little bit about what that is, and, can you just ask for it? When would you get it? That kind of thing.
Did you say thermography?
Yes, thermography. I'm sorry, yes.
Yes. Okay, so thermography, it's hard to find. You can go to let me see if I can pull up the website to give your listeners. Because it's not the problem with thermography, and this needs to change. It's not regulated. Mammography is regulated by the FDA. Thermography is not. It's FDA approved. It's FDA approved like mammography is, but FDA has never regulated it. So anybody can go out, take a course on how to run a thermogram, buy a camera, and say that they're a thermographer. But you're dealing with people's lives here. You really, it needs to be regulated. So everything, same kind of school, same kind of everything's, across the board, certain kind of cameras are used.
I'm going to push back a little bit about what you just said. And the only reason I would push back is, well, all those things you just said, the schools, the regulation and all that has produced all these failures to begin with. So maybe it's better if it's opened up and there are people out there almost wild west on their own. At least, maybe you'll get lucky and get somebody who actually knows what they're doing. I don't know. I mean, that's just a thought that came to my head.
See, and I wouldn't want to take a chance with that. And I know that I'm saying two different things here. I'm saying, well, you can't trust, the revolving door of the government. Yeah. But unfortunately, I'd rather know that I'm going to a reputable place. I know what you're saying. It's kind of crazy, but I'd rather go to somebody that I know.
It's kind of a catch-22.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, can I give you the ladies, the if you're listening, give you the website to go to where I trust this gentleman. He does the interpretations on my thermograms, and he's very good.
Yes.
Breastthermography.com/find-a-center. Breastthermography.com/find-a-center. If you just go to that website, you can find it on .com. But and he lists the ones that he trusts in there. And there's not, there's not a whole bunch of them, but it's worth a drive. I drive, an hour and a half to get my thermogram just because I want to go to somebody who knows what they're doing.
Well, yeah, like you said, I mean, this is nothing to fool around with. This isn't a hangnail or anything.
No.
When should people, is it, a certain age, should they just get a thermography, or is there something going on in their life that should trigger them, hey, I need to get a thermography, or when should they do this?
Stress is one of the worst problems. It's one of the biggest precursors to cancer, because once you get stressed, a long-term stress, which we're all under right now, it's like a cascade effect of your hormones, and everything falls apart from there, your immune system. So the thermographer I use, she suggests that even – she said she's seeing problems in teenagers. How terrible is that? So she's recommending that, you know, maybe around 20 years old, start getting a thermogram every 3 years just in case. And then every, you know, 2 years, maybe in your 30s. And, you know, how you can, it's all out of pocket. It's how much you can afford, unfortunately, until we get this covered by insurance. I'm going once a year, like a mammogram. So I'm going to, yeah.
Well, thermography, it's not invasive. It's not radiating you. It's not,
right.
I mean,
correct.
Yeah. I mean, you could get one, you know, every month, and it's not going to, there's no long-term residual effect, I wouldn't think.
Correct. And I actually, one of the thermographers, Dr. Galena Magalco, she's out of LA. She's in my film. She had a woman come to her with, I think it was invasive DCIS. And the woman said, I don't want to do conventional therapies. And she changed her lifestyle. She drank so many green drinks that her teeth turned green, Dr. Magalco said. And she said, I want you to do a thermogram every month, and let's just see if it disappears. And darn if it didn't. I think
wow.
It was 8 to 10 months. It just not totally disappeared, but you could just watch it melt away. And that's not the first time I've heard of a situation like that. So it can be done. There is hope for cancer.
You mentioned estrogen-based tumors. I know we're seeing in like plastic water bottles, you're seeing estrogen mimickers in these water bottles that people are eating plastics. They're microwaving a plastic. Is that what we're talking about, estrogen-based tumors? Or what are we talking about here?
Now, those things are pretty nasty. I take a product called DIM, D-I-M, that my doctor prescribed that gets rid of those icky things, icky forms of estrogen that are harmful. And
what's
it
called?
Like
Hold on. Say it again. That's important. DIM,
D-I-M. D-I-M. What the heck does it stand for? I don't know. I have a bottle over here. You know, I'm researching stuff as fast as I can, but DIM, yeah, what is it? Is it dimethylmethane, something like that. Anyway, DIM, you can find it in any health food stores, and that helps. That helped make me feel better, just happier and everything else.
Really?
Because
the extra estrogen mimickers screw with your hormones, so it's kind of evening that out, basically?
I have no idea, but I just felt happier when I started taking it.
Wow. Okay, we got about seven, 8 minutes left. Some other myths we can go over.
Okay, so low radiation, I told you about that. It's not low radiation. It's there is no chart out there that says this is low radiation, this is medium, this is high. It's really subjective. It's whatever the radiologist wants to call it. So they just deemed that mammograms are low radiation, and it's really not. I don't consider 1,000 chest x-rays low radiation. I'm afraid of one. And when I found out it was 1,000, I'm like, holy Toledo. So it's not low radiation. Compression doesn't spread cancer or worsen it if you have it. And there is speculation in the literature that, no, that's not true. Common sense, just think about it. You got a tumor and you're squishing the patootie out of it. You don't want to break the capsule and have that all of a sudden become metastatic, especially if you just had a biopsy. I had interviewed a woman for my film. She had a stage 4 cancer, or it wasn't stage 4 yet. It was stage 2, I think. She had a biopsy to the tumor. Okay, now there's a hole in the tumor. Then they squished it between a mammogram plates, and a tumor literally popped out where that needle had been placed. Literally, she had a bump. Another tumor formed, and her doctor and her discussed it, and they said, yeah, that was probably from the biopsy. Holy Toledo. You're squishing the breast, trauma, inflammation. Inflammation causes cancer. It makes no sense to squish our breast. It just makes no sense. Biopsies are accurate and don't spread cancer. Well, I just told you about that. But, you know, I thought biopsies were almost 100%. No, they are far from 100%. If you get a, if you get one pathology having a pathologist having a bad day, and he doesn't read your scan, your biopsy correctly, you're going to go for treatment. You're going to go because that's your fail safe right there, and you're going to go for. They're going to say mastectomy, chemo, radiation. So you should get. And the American Cancer Society said this too. Yes, feel free to get a second or third opinion. Make sure you really have cancer. And I would take my slide to a different pathologist, quite frankly.
You're not helping my confidence in the medical industry listening to you.
Sorry.
as low as it was before this interview, I think it's even lower now. If that's possible. Sorry. But anyway, go ahead.
I know. I'm depressed too. So anyway, those are the big ones that I came across, but I can go on and on about other stuff too.
Let me ask you about these. You keep mentioning lifestyle changes. What are some, maybe some things that people do that is, you know, cancer causing or helps the environment for cancer? And then what are some things people can do, change their lifestyle to, you know, get rid of those things?
Well, you look at the air we breathe, the food we eat, the water we drink. It's all, I mean, it's pretty become pretty well known that the fact that cancers are on the rise, you know, we're doing something wrong here, right?
Right.
So
yeah,
people are, you really have to stay on top of this. I go to you know, naturopathic doctors. One is a medical doctor, and I was on three medications, and one of them I was on because a side effect from the second medication. I went, you know what? I'm not that old. I am not going to be on all these medications. So I went to this woman, and she started giving me supplements, and one by one, I didn't have to take those medications anymore. They're gone. I'm on no medication, and I walked into a doctor's office, and they're like, you're not on any prescriptions? I'm like, yeah, how about that? But I'm on a ton of supplements. But, you know, I'm glad I'm not on medications. I'm much healthier. But I change my I make sure I'm eating non-GMO as much as possible. You know, basic stuff
Why?
Like that.
Why did you make that change? Tell me about that. Why did you do that?
It's not natural. Anything not natural, your body is going, what the heck is this? It comes in. It doesn't know how to metabolize it. So anything that's not found naturally, you know, like a medication, your body doesn't recognize it like the natural source that that should be in there, right? All kinds of, you know, glyphosates, you know about those. I'm sure you've talked about those. It's just everything's just gotten polluted, and we just haven't taken care of our world, unfortunately, and it's gotten into our food supply and our water supply and our air. So you have to detox yourself. Detox isn't, you know, finding a detox agent. I would recommend, if you can afford it, to go to a naturopathic doctor and just get them to look you over and talk about what you're on and what you might be able to do instead. Just be careful about what you put in, you know.
Has anybody ever talked to you about infrared sauna? Because I've been learning a little bit about infrared saunas. Has anybody ever talked to you about that for detox?
I've only done one once. A lot of people swear by them for detoxing. I don't know that much, kind of out of my expertise, so I won't talk about it.
I know
people swear by them.
Right.
Yeah.
Anything else lifestyle people need to know? Like if, here's a question kind of, maybe it's a little off topic, but not really. One of my childhood friends, I got a call from him about a month or so ago, and he got diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. Mm-hmm. And when you get that call, if you got that call, what's the first thing you would do?
Mm. I'd call up a clinic down in Mexico. again, lifestyle, get the stress out of your life. I know that's not easy, but I mean, if you have a death in the family, it's really hard to unstress from that. But do the best you can. Go to a psychologist if you have to. But I would go somewhere that they were allowed to use things that are outside the box that you can't use in the U.S. because they've really tied the doctor's hands here. It's a shame. They're even the medical, even the Mexican clinics are starting to feel pressure. Somehow pharma's gotten into their government, I guess, and they're trying to close some of them, which is, you know, Switzerland, same thing. I was surprised people wouldn't talk to me. I'm like, what? I thought this was like an open society. And I'm like, no, we're being watched too. So we've all just got to rise up here. Hate to say it, but we need to rise up and march in the streets and yell and scream because big medicine is just rolling all over us and our health. Just all over us. It's terrible what's going on.
We have a couple minutes left. I've really enjoyed meeting you. Boobs Doc, boobs plural, boobsdoc.com is the website to check out this video. I think it's well worth your time. I do not have any breasts. But I found it incredibly fascinating. Okay. No mammary, but I don't know. Let's just leave it there. I am a male and I found it incredibly, interesting and, really informative and necessary. And my wife, this information for her is she's soaked it up. The few things I've told her, I'm sure she's listening to this interview now. The last word is yours. You know, anything you want to say about this? It's really nice to meet you, Megan. You're welcome back anytime.
Thank you. I will just pitch one thing if I can. I'm also, of course, follow us on Facebook and boobsdoc.com, boobsdoc.com. All the things that I couldn't fit into my film, which is 95 minutes long, stuffed with information that you'll want to hear. I'm actually writing a book because I couldn't fit it all in. I finally went, you know, I got to get this out somehow. So I'm writing a book. I did all the research. So I thought I might as well just throw it on some pages and see if I can get it published. So it'll be by the same name and hopefully, I don't know, maybe out next year or so. And my next film is going to be called A New Standard of Care, which is on alternative cancer therapies.
I like that. Very good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's extremely good to meet you, like I said. Ladies and gentlemen, you have a great evening, a great weekend. We'll be back towards the beginning of next week. We're going to have Laura Presley on. We got great guest hosts in the meantime. Now's the time. I mean, everything's coming through, ladies and gentlemen. You want to be happy, healthy, successful, and free as God intends you. You better live for it. You better be willing to sacrifice for it. You better be aggressive about it. Right now, right here. There you go. You've been listening to the Power Hour. God bless you. Stay there, Megan.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against When you buy from thepowermall.com, need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.